You tune to Travel Writers Radio, and that was a hymn of Torino FC, that is in football club. Why we're talking Torino is because we're going to Italy. Rita Ehrlich, currently in Torino, Italy, was struck by how regional the food is in Italy, and in this report, she also dispels one of its popular myths.
Let's get one thing straight. Just as there's no tooth fairy, there is no spaghetti bolognese. Not in Bologna, anyway, where you'd expect to find it. No spaghetti either. Bologna, in the region known as Emilia-Romagna, in north-central Italy, is where you find fresh pasta. So it's not spaghetti bolognese, but tagliatelle al ragù, or tagliatelle with a sauce. And that's as close as you get. Eating in Italy is rather different from eating Italian food outside its home country, or more precisely, its home region. I've heard it said there's really no such thing as Italian food because it's regional rather than Italian. That's nearly right. I've been in four cities in two regions, and each has its own character. In Turin, for instance, in the northwest region of Piedmont, they love red and yellow peppers. They're roasted and they're everywhere, for antipasto, accompanying meat, whatever you like. They're terrific, and peppers here come only in red and yellow, no green. I did see one greenish one in a market, but it would never make it to the table. Piedmont does not have a coastline, and its cooking emphasises that. Tuna, canned, is the preferred fish, along with anchovies. To be fair, I did try fresh fish, sea bass, but the chef seemed quite suspicious of it and cooked it so there was no sign of life, past or present. Tuna, however, gives us vitello tonnato, cold poached veal, finely sliced, with a tuna sauce that's a bit like a tuna mayonnaise. When it's good, it's fantastic. Rich and unexpected, the blandness of the veal offsetting the tuna sauce. The pasta specialty here is called ravioli al plin, tiny filled ravioli. Sometimes there's tagliarin, which is fresh pasta made only with flour and egg yolks. Very yellow, very delicious. Cheese is the thing here, but not in the French style. The region was ruled by the French for some time, and there are traces of that in the dialect and in some of the more complex meat dishes, meat braised in red wine, for example, but it's never served as the French do before dessert. Piedmont, which means the foot of the mountain, is dairy country, and there's a range of cheeses, usually fresh, often unpasteurised, that are rarely seen out of the home region. A selection of them often appears as a main course. And there's fonduta, a cheese sauce that is essentially melted cheese. It appears with sformato, which is a kind of vegetable souffle or mould. The nicest for me is pepperoni with red peppers, but they're made with almost any vegetable. Turin's the city for chocolate. The reason goes back centuries, but truly, the chocolate in Turin is outstanding. Hot chocolate is more like the Spanish style, essentially melted chocolate served in a small cup. Every grand cafe, and there are so many of them, has a range of little chocolates to go with coffee, or the more serious drink called bicerin. That's equal parts espresso coffee, that hot chocolate, and hot milk. I've had it without much milk, but with a splash of cream. Have it in the morning, as the locals do. It keeps everyone awake for the rest of the day. Turin, wonderful city that it is probably not the best place in the region for restaurants. A number of people have told me to head out of the city to smaller towns, places like Alba, Biella, and Alba's big rival, Asti. At a restaurant in Asti, where the menu was written onto a blackboard, I had the star dish, a tart whose pastry was made with the local cereal flour, filled with cooked cardoons. Cardoon looks like monster celery and tastes like artichoke, en fonduta, topped with fresh shaved truffles. Oh my, the cost was only €9.50, and I thought someone had forgotten to carry the one, but no, we had it two nights running. The sformato appears further south in Emilia-Romagna, but I think it's a dish that doesn't travel. In Emilia-Romagna, it tends to be dry and it doesn't come with fonduta. Once you're in this region, there are two truths. Cured meat, most notably prosciutto di Parma, but a whole heap of other meats, including mortadella and the aged cheese that is parmesan or parmigiano reggiano. So the deal is that you start with tagliata, which means sliced, and you get a plate full of cured meat, prosciutto crudo, mortadella, salami, and something cooked that seems like tongue, but I've never got the name of it. A plate for one may be eaten by one Italian or two or more Australians. There are various fresh pasta shapes and fillings. Tagliatelle I've mentioned, but there are tagliolini, which are finer cut. There are ravioli, which might be filled with ricotta and herbs, or with greens, or with meat. And sometimes, very nicely, with pumpkin. That's a specialty in Ferrara, half an hour from Bologna. There are tortelloni, lovely round filled pasta. Tortellini are the little ones, most properly served in brodo, in a good broth. You'd never ask for them with a sauce. A number of things make restaurants in Italy striking. The first is that menus are limited, especially in the trattoria. A trattoria is less formal than a restaurant, although the distinction can be blurry. What's a limited menu? A few antipasto, well, it comes down to cured meat mostly, maybe four or five pasta dishes, and maybe four or five meat dishes. Fish can make a shy appearance, but it's mostly veal or beef or pork. Vegetables, for whatever reason, do not appear much except as an accompaniment, which is odd because the markets are full of really good vegetables and an exceptional range of greens. Food comes quickly. There's no hanging about for half an hour or more while chef gets it perfect. The menus are designed to get food out to the customer fast. A couple of times I've had to say, "We're not in a hurry." "Okay, in 5 minutes then." Waiters work hard and fast and with consistent good humour, at least in my experience. In Parma, I watched two waiters set a table for 14 walk-ins. One woman had appeared to say there would be 13 others arriving in a few minutes, and the table was set. The waiter's only requirement was that they have more than one course. They were all English speakers, all looking rather fazed by the menu, so I went over and made some suggestions. I praised the pasta, in particular the ravioli. One of the women looked anxious. "I can't eat dairy," she told me. "What can I have?" I sighed. "You're in the wrong region," I said, which was exactly what the waiter said a few minutes later when she conferred with him. Appetites in this part of Italy are to be taken seriously. One of Bologna's names is il grasso, the fat. I can't understand why people aren't the size of a palazzo, but they're not. It's not just the meals, it's what happens between and before meals, and that's true in both Piedmont and Emilia-Romagna. I thought Turin was generous, but it's not a patch on Bologna. Aperitifs, seem to start around 11, and there are usually platters on the counter, so there's a nibble or two. Drinking without eating anything is frowned upon. But before aperitivi comes morning coffee. Bologna doesn't fuss about chocolate, but it does cake. The cafes here are also pasticceria, that is, cake shops. but the cakes are mostly small, dear little sweet mouthfuls. And my favourite place, Gamberini, has a range of about 20. This morning I had a tiny square of fresh cheesecake topped with a raspberry. Yesterday I had a little tart filled with pastry cream and blueberries. Tomorrow I'll have, well, I'll wait and see. There are slightly bigger cakes and also quite big ones that would be served as a dessert for a special occasion. Sometime in the mid to late afternoon, after lunch, is a good time for more coffee and a cake, or a spritz, which is Aperol and white wine or sparkling wine, or a Negroni, or even a glass of wine, accompanied by something from one of the food platters on the bar. Usually you pay extra, but in one place where I had two small tastes, the cost was only a single euro. I'm trying to remember where I left my waistline.
That was food writer and now broadcaster Rita Ehrlich, who has recently been enjoying the culinary delights of Torino, Italy.